Welcome to Land Parties, episode 184 from the Las Vegas Review Journal, brought to you by Blue Wire. I am your host, Ryan Smith, and unfortunately, we are missing Lucas again. He was unable to join us. We hope everything is going well on his end. And we were supposed to have a guest today, but we were having some technical issues. So that will be coming out next week. So today you've got me solo dolo. And boy, oh boy, is there a ton of news to go over anyway. So it's going to be fantastic. Hope everyone had a good weekend. This past week, I finished Exo Primal, at least the main storyline. It was pretty dope. I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. I'm actually working on a review for it right now. So that should be coming out here hopefully in the next few days or so. So that was cool. I got my Destiny 2 on. The Solstice event is going on there as well. And then I got back down on some Final Fantasy 16. I'm surprised I've been by myself and I have not finished that game yet. I think it's because Exo Primal came in and I put a ton of attention on Exo Primal. I just had a ton of fun playing Exo Primal. So that kind of put me behind on Final Fantasy 16. However, I'm pushing forward with that and we should hopefully have that beat here sometime this week. We shall see. The other big thing here, this past Friday was actually the video game Mental Health and Wellness Summit, brought to you by the City of Las Vegas. I know Complete Gamer, they helped set it up. Neil, Nevada Esports Education League, Stormrush Gaming, Las Vegas Inferno. There's Microsoft, Activision Blizzard was out there, Minecraft. They had a tournament for Forza and like Barbie. They gave away a Barbie controller. It was a lot of fun. I've got to say too, just Assemblywoman Erica as well. I've just got to say, though, it's so huge to see the city of Las Vegas really embrace these kinds of events. It was fantastic. There was families out there. There was kids, old folks, young folk, all in between gathering together. And again, the fact that this took place at City Hall. So the fact that the city of Las Vegas has really opened up and they are welcoming to esports, to video games. We know that the first in the nation, we have the first esports day in the nation as well. Again, that's thanks to so many of those folks that I listed before, working with politicians and, you know, the local politicians here to get some stuff passed. They also received commendation from Senator Dina Titus, as well as Senator Catherine Cortez Masto as well. So fantastic event. Again, we're going to have Ed on next week to kind of break it down, talk about all the stuff they had going on. I know that there was keynote speeches. There were workshops. There was just a lot of stuff going on. And the energy there was absolutely fantastic. I had the pleasure of going for a couple of hours. So it was really nice. It was a nice way to kind of kick the weekend off. And then they had a gala that night as well, which I did win a prize. I'm not going to show it on here. But if you go to my Twitter, I'm pretty sure I posted about it, or I will post about it here soon. But they had giveaways. There was recognition and awards for folks that were there as well. So overall, I felt like this is a really successful summit. Again, we're here supporting not only video games and esports, but the education side of it and how important it is for our youth to see that, hey, man, there's more to do than just, you know, it's more than just, you know, professional gamer or professional streamer. There are a ton of other jobs that are within this sector. And I love the fact that they are going through and showing this stuff off and really educating these young folks on all the possibilities and what we think is going to be huge here in Las Vegas. So overall, great event. We'll talk more about it next week, but I wanted to move on to some video game news. The first big one being that There is now a partnership where you can now on Xbox. I don't know if you've ever heard of AntStream before. It's essentially a retro gaming platform, and they've got about 1,300 games on their platform. You can play things from Commodore 64 to NES. They've got a really, really wide range of games. And I think this is also going to be huge in the fact that, you know, we've talked about it a little bit too, and just the preservation of video games, being able to continue to play these games in the future, and folks that haven't had a chance, that weren't there during that time to play these games. So it's a great service. It's got a ton of retro games. The platform itself is a little rough. I have personally used it. It could use some work. It could use some work, but this is huge, especially if you're on the Xbox platform. You know what I mean? To be able to have access to these games. Now, there is a cost behind this. It's going to be $29.99 or $30 for the year, or you could pay an $80 lifetime pass and have access to this platform, I'm guessing, ongoing, in perpetuity. So who knows how many more games and how much stuff it's going to be added. I mean, there are some classic games here. The reason I have it is so I could try out some of those classic games that really I grew up playing. It's just the nostalgia of it. And then the fact that, again, like we were talking about before, this also gives newer folks the opportunity to be able to play these older games that maybe they've only read about or heard people talk about, you know, to be able to do this. A lot of these games, either the consoles don't exist or there's limited ways of being able to play these games. So for something like AntStream to be able to collaborate with Xbox and to bring these retro games to their platforms, I think is absolutely critical. I don't know how it works in terms of, because on PC, you can just get AntStream. Right. You could just get the platform. So I don't know that you would need to go in through like Game Pass or anything like this. I think this is more about bringing these classic retro games to consoles. I wouldn't be surprised, or it'd be interesting to see anyway, if maybe in the future they end up going to Sony or into the PlayStation platform, or let's say maybe even the Switch, although I don't see them really going to the Switch, but maybe, you never know. So I thought this was pretty interesting that this recently happened, especially with the recent news and Microsoft and the Activision Blizzard deal looking almost close to being able to say it's a done deal. They just got to get through some UK regulatory boards. However, they were able to get through it in the States here. The EU was good. China was good. All around the world, it's seeming more and more like that Activision Blizzard deal is going to happen. So, I mean, right now, Xbox and Microsoft and what they're doing, there is going to be a ton of variety of games. Not only the studios that they've gobbled up over the years, but then you've got the Activision Blizzard, you've got Bethesda, you've got so many others that are with them that are now essentially their first party. And then you've got something like AntStream that's coming in and saying, here's a way to be able to play these retro games as well. And it doesn't even matter, you know, what they had their own streaming platform. So let me just say, you can't go in and like download the games directly to your console. You'd have to play them over the cloud. It's a streaming service. It's the same thing as any other streaming service. You can't physically bring the copies in, so you're able to, because they don't have the rights to do that. I think they only have the streaming rights, the ability to allow people and to have them on their platform. And then after that, you know, it is what it is. So that's huge. That's huge in terms of retro games and just being able to preserve classic video games and allowing folks to be able to have the ability to play these. This is a huge boon, I think, on the Xbox side of things. So we'll see how that goes. Also, too, I'm really hoping that they kind of clean up that platform a little bit. That platform, like I was saying, is a bit rough. Going in, the UI is not the most intuitive. So we'll see that if they, you know, especially the fact that they're going to be on Xbox, that's going to widen their audience. If they go in and make some UI changes and things to clean it up a little bit and make it feel a little better than what it is right now. So we shall see in terms of that. Switching gears here a little bit, we also saw there's an article by Game Informer that the studio Tencent, one of the biggest gaming companies in the world, based out of China. They've got stakes in Epic and other big names. They actually are now, and they just purchased a majority stake in Techland, which they are the developers of Dying Light and Dying Light 2. So that is pretty big. I actually thought that this company would get picked up by like a Sony or something. So this is interesting to see that, again, another one of these big gaming companies come in and pick up another studio like this. You know, it's kind of interesting too, because it's not always a good thing. Yes, this could mean, especially with Tencent's money behind them, this could mean them developing more games, just having capital and funding, whereas before maybe they were struggling a little bit. So it could be huge for them. On the other side of thing, though, we also know that sometimes companies are bought to be dissolved. They buy the companies out to essentially get rid of the competition. So it'll be interesting to see which route this goes, but this is huge. I mean, this is huge for them. I feel like Tencent is, I mean, they've got a lot of stock all over the place, right? So they're not afraid to buy up these studios that are making solid games. But I mean, really, I guess I don't see the motivation behind them in this move right now at this time. We had Dying Light. We had Dying Light 2 finally after years of speculation about it and it coming out and it not coming out. So it's kind of an interesting move to see that Tencent went in and what those conversations look like for them to be able to make this acquisition. So I don't know if we'll see how this plays out, what kind of future plans that they have, because Techland's, I believe, a Polish company, which I'm kind of surprised that they didn't get gobbled up by the Embracer Group. However, and this is where we're seeing things, the Embracer Group has been making a lot of big moves as well, right? They've recently started making layoffs. They've talked about games that are essentially going to be stalled in production. They're going to focus on bigger stuff. And I think they're actually going to be offloading some studios as well. So this is that weird issue where I felt like when we went into the pandemic, a lot of people pushed super heavy into the digital space. As things have become more normalized now, people are having to pump the brakes. They went all in. They went too far in, and now they're not seeing the projections I'm taking or I'm guessing are not adding up to what they had projected. So they're having to move backwards now and unload some of that heavy capital that they picked up because the numbers just aren't there. So that's pretty huge to see. We'll see what ends up happening. But Tencent not playing around. They are out there making moves and whatnot. So we'll have to keep our eyes on that and to see, you know, if Techland is able to then move forward, maybe a Dying Light 3. Maybe they've got other IPs that they haven't even begun to work on. We'll see what that means for them in terms of what they come out with next. Or maybe that means more DLC for Dying Light 2. I'm not sure. I never played any of the Dying Lights. I heard they're really good, but I never played any of them. They are on the list of games that eventually I will get to and play, but that list is very, very long. One more before we take a quick break. This was kind of surprising to me, but Ubisoft has canceled Immortals Fenyx Rising sequel. They've kind of been making this shift from what is, I don't know, I guess smaller IPs to their more well-known IPs. We saw them go heavy in on Assassin's Creed. So we know that that's a big moneymaker for them. But this is really, this game, I never had a chance to play this game. I shouldn't say I didn't have the chance. I have had the chance. I just haven't played the game yet. But it was almost like a kind of like I love Greek mythology and mythology things as well. So this game is right up my alley. And it is very much kind of like a Zelda-esque game, if you will. It's gorgeous graphics. It's a lot of fun. This is really disappointing to see. You know, I know a lot of folks there. It's definitely got a nice fan base for it. And I know a lot of folks were looking forward to a sequel for this. So it's really disappointing to see that, unfortunately, they're having to make these cuts and make these decisions to get rid of some of these games that we were looking forward to. But this is kind of like the last point that I was making, too. It's just that I feel like a lot of people went in, they invested a lot of capital. They are not getting a return of investment in terms of what they've purchased or the ideas that they've had. So they're having to pump the brake on some projects that maybe they didn't think that they would have to before, or they were looking to move forward with it. So it's unfortunate for those folks that are looking for Immortals Fenyx Rising 2. I'm making up my own game. That's a whole other game. But yeah, you just hate to see these games be canceled, especially, and I'm guessing they've already been putting work into the game, right? So people probably are already gone in and, you know, put a ton of time into the development of the game and stuff like that. So anytime, and I don't care what industry you're in, but something that you're passionate about and you're working on, for it to get the kebab in the middle of the project has got to be super disheartening, not only for the developers and the folks that work there, but obviously the fans too. So hopefully they're able to, you know, down the road, come back to the project and move forward with it. I think people would appreciate it, but it sounds like as of right now, Fenyx Rising 2 is done. It's a wrap. It ain't happening. Ubisoft said, oh, nay, nay. So that is unfortunate, but we'll keep our eye on that too and see if they make other shifts, other moves and what other things. Because I'm guessing if something like that is going to get cut, there's probably going to be other games that haven't been announced yet that are also looking at being cut. So we'll see what that looks like. And you know, hopefully that's able to get back on track at some point in time. And we are able to play a sequel for that game because it is a fantastic game. So I'm told. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be back to talk about more video gaming news. We'll be right back, y'all. If you love listening to us here on LAN Parties, what's stopping you from grabbing a mic and starting your own show? And there's no better place to host than Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So if you're ready to do more than just listening to us talk about your favorite team or game, then make your voice heard and hustle. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box in this episode to find out more. But that's bwhustle.com/join. And thank you so much for listening to that commercial break. We are back and we're going to dive right back into it. This one is for Lucas. I know that we talked about it on this show, but if you remember, there's a game called Sea of Stars It was an RPG, kind of like that old school RPG feel to it. I know it's going to be released on Switch and other consoles, PS5 and all that good stuff. But we just found out that here on PlayStation Plus, this game is actually going to be a day one release here in August. This game comes out August 29th, and it's going to be day one. I love to see it. This is something that I said. This is with PlayStation Plus Extra and Deluxe subscribers. This is definitely, I'm a huge RPG fan, like especially old school RPG games like this. I love Live Alive. This is like right up that alley. So I'm totally going to be playing the mess out of this game. But it's interesting to see that this game is going to be day one here on PlayStation Plus and what that deal actually kind of look like from, you know, where they were at and why they decided to make it a day one because then that's going to be some revenue loss on their end for the folks that are subscribed to PlayStation Plus Extra and Deluxe. So I'm guessing that they must have gotten a nice monetary value out of PlayStation to allow it to be able to do that. Plus, that is going to, I think, greatly bolster the numbers for that game. There's a demo out for it right now, which I need to download the tryout. I might download to try it out. I kind of don't like to. I'd rather, unless like for me, demos, like if I could play a demo and then what I did in the demo carries over to the actual game, hey, I'm all about that. I don't like doing demos and then having to re-go through it when I get the actual game. So a lot of times I end up not playing demos. But yeah, we'll see. I might check this out just to see. But I mean, again, it's going to be a day one, August 29th. So I'm absolutely going to download it. I'll be playing it. It looks good. The music sounds fantastic. I can't remember if we talked to somebody. Was it earlier this year or maybe last year about this game? I know Lucas was talking about this, and this is high up on Lucas's list in terms of, I believe he planned on getting it regardless. So we'll see if that sweetens the deal. I can't remember if Lucas has a PS5 or not. But if he does, this is going to be huge news. And I think this is a great game for those RPG lovers, especially the classic RPG, turn-based RPGs. I think CSRs is going to be fantastic. I'm going to play, like I said, I will be playing it. It's also going to be coming on Xbox Game Pass. It's also a day one release. I'm sorry, I'm going through this article a little bit as well. So it's going to be on PS Plus and it's going to be on Xbox Game Pass day one for both. So you have a variety of ways of being able to play this game, no matter what platform you're on. If you're on PC, if you're on Xbox, if you're on PlayStation, if you got Switch, it's everywhere. That's the only place that it's not included in a deal. That would be amazing if it was on the Nintendo, like a family share plan or whatever as a day one. But right now it looks like it's just going to be on PlayStation 5. I'm sorry, PS4, PS5, and the Xbox Series. So take a look at that. CSRs, if you are into your good old classic turn-based RPG games, it is coming here in a little over a month. So I think that's pretty exciting for fans and folks of that genre. That is going to be a must-have for me, for sure. And then I don't think we talked about this last week. I think it was after our show, but we found out that Blizzard and Overwatch 2 is actually coming to Steam on August 10th. I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. And the only reason I say that, obviously it being on Steam, this is going to drop with their invasion, basically their PvE mission base, because that wasn't completely killed. Just the big portion, a big portion of how that was supposed to run and play was killed. However, the fact that this is coming to Steam is going to be a huge boon to the community. That means it's opening up to allow more folks to be able to play on different platforms. You don't just have to play on the Activision Blizzard platform, I guess. You can actually play it on Steam. So that should be interesting. Obviously, that should help their numbers. I'm a little worried for Overwatch 2. I'm not going to lie. There's been numerous reports, number one, about them laying people off directly from their esports department, which obviously is Overwatch League. We know that there's the team votes on whether they are going to stick and stay in the coming year or if they choose on bouncing. So there's the possibility that the Overwatch League may not even exist next year. And then, you know, we know that the user base has been steadily going down. It's running into the same issue that it did before. We are getting new heroes now again, but like there's not been a lot of progress in terms of the story and where it is. We've gotten a lot of backstory stuff, but we really haven't gotten anything as to the current story and where that current story is going. So, I'm nervous for Overwatch 2. This might be, you know, the writings might be on the wall in terms of, again, I think there will always be a base for it, but I don't know how much more they're going to invest in Overwatch 2 and its continued success and doing things, because it seems like, you know, the league may be in jeopardy. Their player base is declining, hence why they're opening up the Steam. That should bolster the numbers of their player base, but still, there's so much. I just feel that there's so much negative, not only negative PR, but just negative moves that have happened since. And this goes back to Overwatch 1 when they stopped doing content altogether and said, Overwatch 2 is where it's going to be at. We're going to have a new infrastructure. The story is going to get built out. Everything's going to be fantastic. We're going to have, you know, we're going to bring back more heroes and all this great stuff. And, you know, since it's come back, there's just been a number of disappointing announcements since then. They changed the format. Folks, Overwatch 1 doesn't even exist anymore. You can't play it. So there's no way of, you can go into the lab and set up things. So you could do like a 6v6 thing or whatever. But I don't know. I'm nervous for this. And even myself, I love Overwatch. And I really haven't found myself playing a lot of it. I know that they have this new season that's out and, like, you know, it's supposed to be kind of D&D related and stuff like that. But like, I just have no interest in going and playing it. There's so many other great games that have endings that are just funner, I guess, or I'm just having more fun playing them. This game will always be fun to me. It's fun when you're in there and playing and stuff like that. But like, it just has had so many issues, and it saddens me because this really was one of those like defining games for me, at least PvP. I had never played a game like this before in my life that I could really think of. I've garnered so much friendship. I used to play super competitively, and then I got on PC and realized I was trash. You know, so now that was out of the cards. But it's still a fun game to play. And I want there to be more. I know that they've just come out with the shorts. They've got the shorts that are running now too. But like, even there, I haven't found myself. I've known that it's been out, but I haven't even gone and watched them yet. That is how much interest I have lost in the world and universe of Overwatch. And I used to love it so much. So I don't know, man. It definitely makes me nervous for the future of Overwatch, the Overwatch League and everything. And we were talking about it too. Like, even the Overwatch League, I mean, when it debuted, it was originally on Twitch. It was huge. You could watch the streams. You were able to get currency from watching the streams. There's drops and things like that. Then they went over to YouTube. I'm guessing YouTube offered them a deal that they couldn't refuse upfront for that upfront capital, because as you know, this stuff is super, super expensive. It's like $25 million just to get a team established in there, which is absolutely bonkers. And then we know that they really were looking at a more traditional sports and how, you know, packing venues and stuff like that. The pandemic obviously really hurt that. So I feel like esports in general have been hurting. And clearly they are not as popular here in the West as you know, in the States as they, and I, not all the, in the United States, particularly South America is pretty big. EU's big, obviously Asia, is big as well. So we just haven't seen that yet here in the United States. And I felt like this was, you know, with the CDL, with the Overwatch League, all that stuff, you know, was that good push, but the pandemic really hampered down what I think it could have done. And at this point, I mean, it almost seems like a money pit. The folks can't be getting a return in their investment. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Overwatch League, and I'm really hoping this doesn't happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if there is not a league by next year. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, but, you know, I'm kind of having that feeling and leaning towards that. Last story here. This was kind of a shocker to me as well. I remember my friends were talking about Gundam Evolution. It was a free-to-play Gundam, if you know anything about the old Gundam robots and stuff like that. But it was a free-to-play team-based game online. And again, I don't know what it is. It's been less than a year that this game was out. I remember seeing a ton of hype online about it and folks talking about it and playing it and having a good time. And it just didn't pull the numbers. It is no longer pulling the numbers enough to the fact that they're saying that, it's just a wrap. And this is as of, so hold on, let me just read this verbatim, on here. It says a live stream detailing the sunsetting roadmap will air tomorrow, July 21st, which had already happened. That was about 4 days ago. The services officially end on November 29th. Until then, Miriyama states that it will still receive updates. Season 6 arrives on August 23rd, and the final season hits on October 25th. Both seasons will introduce a new unit and maps. But at that point, you're playing a dead game. Which is fine. I know there are folks and there is a fan base that people are liking this, but I don't know these. I think this reinforces that the time of these free to play games that they're coming out and has been, the market has been completely oversaturated with this model. I think, I don't want to say it's over, but it is a lot tougher to be successful in this free-to-play model. Number one, you're talking about a live service game. So it's constantly changing. So you constantly have a team that is working on this stuff, developing things, and then, of course, developing things for the future, for seasons. And you got the Battle Pass stuff. If people aren't buying the Battle Pass stuff or spending their real dollars on cosmetic things, that's how they're making their money. They're not making their money on game sales. It's a free-to-play game. So they have to find other ways to monetize. And frankly, I think folks are sick of it. I mean, some of these battle passes are they're just cosmetic things. I'm not going to spend money just for cosmetic stuff. And that's cool. Sometimes it's great. But like, it kind of blows my mind that we're dropping ducats on this digital stuff. That in itself, it's NFTs. Essentially, it's just NFTs. That was one of my issues with Exoprimal. Exoprimal is a $60 game, but there is still a battle pass. There is a battle pass that costs, I believe it was $9 for the battle pass, and all it has is cosmetic stuff. That's cool, but it's going to take more than that, number one, to get me to buy a battle pass. Number two, for you guys to be sustainable. You guys got your money, but it was on Game Pass, so I could see where maybe that's where Capcom is trying to make up from some of their potential revenue from it being on Game Pass. And then that's why they introduced this foolish Battle Pass, in my opinion. But I'm over Battle Passes. I'm sick of them. I'm sick of them. They just want your money. And it's a never-ending cycle. It'll continue. And don't get me wrong. Do I buy every Destiny 2 Battle Pass? I absolutely do. And that is only because I've been playing the game for almost 10 years. I'm too invested. I'm riding it till the end. I'm riding it till the light and dark saga ends. And then from there, we'll see what happens. I don't know, but I gotta ride it through. That is one. And then I usually get the snap. I usually get the snap one, and that's mainly because you get the boosters and stuff like that. You get the card, but the card's usually, not usually, but sometimes the card isn't the greatest. So that one's kind of a weird one, though, because it gives you an unfair advantage, which I'm not a huge fan of being able to, it almost feels like a pay-to-win scenario, but no one singular card has that much pull, I guess. Zabu was a pretty big one. Because that affected that you were able to create whole archetypes based off of Zabu. But they've given more ways now to be able to achieve cards with their spotlight caches and all that stuff. So I don't know. This is unfortunate for you folks that are playing Gundam Evolution. From what I heard, and I never played the game either. I didn't even know this game was free to play. I remember people playing it in like beta tests and stuff like that, but I don't remember this game officially launching. I don't remember people talking about it after it launched. I feel like the hype kind of died. And I think that also is something that these video game companies need to look out for. I know that there's a lot of money that's spent in the marketing side of things, whether that be, you know, commercials, influencer campaigns, things of that nature. So you get a ton of hype that drums up like before the game starts and then when the game comes out. But then if the game's not solid, you're going to see that fan base and that viewer base drop, not viewer base, I'm sorry, player base drop as quickly as it rose because there was no real interest in it. That was its marketing doing its job. It got people going. People were looking at it. People were picking it up. And then people were playing it and it wasn't enough to hold the attention of folks. So, I don't know. I think we're kind of at a time where in the video game industry, there may be a shift, another shift kind of away from the free to play model. We've seen a ton of one player games that are successful. A great story to me, again, a great story is the keynote, the cornerstone, the infrastructure of any good video game. And that doesn't mean because there's some games that a story isn't really applicable to, right? There's games that are just team-based or like a Valorant or something like that. But a lot of games, the first thing I'm looking at is story. Then it's fun factor. How much fun am I having playing this? Can I come back and play this game multiple times in different scenarios? Can you, you know, this is what Fortnite does so well. It is basically a sandbox game with a bunch of modes. Now you can actually develop games within it, and they're ahead of the curve in terms of that. So a lot of these games, I feel, are trying to emulate what was successful here in 2016, 2017, and we're in 2023, and times have changed, and I really feel like we're at a transitional period within the game industry where we'll see maybe less of these games or different types of games coming out, which I'm okay with. I'm burnt out on all these free-to-play games. I know a lot of them I end up not even playing just because I know that I'm not going to have the time investment to do it. I'm playing too many other games that already have me committed to a certain amount of time, and I do a poor job at that. So to think that I can logically or reasonably pick up another game that's also going to ask me to grind a battle pass or grind this or grind that, that's another reason I won't even look at Diablo. I know that game is grindy. I don't have time for that kind of grind. You know what I mean? So maybe one day I'll go back and play the Diablos. I probably will. They look like fun. People are having a blast playing them. Although this new season thing, there is some weird stuff on that. But yeah, overall, we'll see if games that game industry changes. We've got a lot of people pulling back, stopping games from happening. Again, I think people are seeing the writings on the wall in terms of these free-to-play games and the lack of, or I guess the high interest and then declining interest, both being rapid in the industry. So we'll see how it plays out, but Sag, big Sag for the Gundam Evolution, folks. But you still have until November to play it. They've got another couple of seasons that are coming out. They'll still be doing updates until that point in time. So I don't know. Maybe I'll pick it up just to check it out and see it. But come on, buddy. Will I really? Probably not. Anyway, thank you guys so much for joining me today. Again, don't forget, hit us up on the tweeters at LandPartiesPod, at Lucas Egan, or at Smitty2447. We hope you guys all have an amazing rest of your week. And we'll be back next week. We'll see you then. Oh, don't forget,
we love your faces.